Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Only three to snap it here on third and long. A four-man rush. Wentz has it. Hit at the line and intercepted. Deshaun Elliott in his first game back has the interception. The Steelers get their hands on more passes than anybody in the NFL at the line of scrimmage. Derek Harmon, the rookie, was the one to get his paw on that.
And here he goes. Another one of those splash plays.
You know, I thought that we put together a good plan, and I thought they did a nice job of executing it. The Vikings got some challenging schematics. They worked to minimize your four-man rush with max protections. I think the adjustments we made relative to the max protections was a major component why we were able to put pressure on them. And so kudos to TA and company, but also kudos to the men. We had a bunch of guys that played hard and made a bunch of plays today, and we needed them.
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Temperatures in Pittsburgh in the high 70s right now. A little overcast. That is fan weather brought to you by Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We'll talk a ton about Ben Cherington coming back and all of that, what that means, the decision-making, why they made that decision on tomorrow's show. I will say, if somebody wants to call in the next hour and sound off on that decision, by all means, at 412-928-9370. My quick take on that is it is just massively disappointing that a guy who presided over year six of a rebuild in which the team went backwards and won only 71 games and had the worst scoring offense in all of baseball and had probably the worst offense in Pirates history and hasn't shown at all that he's able to develop hitters. Case in point, what happened to O'Neill Cruz this year. Case in point, having to dump Key Brian Hayes in that contract on the Reds, who were in the playoffs, by the way.
Also, didn't Hayes' OPS go up by about 100 points with Cincinnati?
Yeah, now ballpark factor too, but still, I mean, that's a big leap. And so it's just a punch to the gut of Pirates fans that the organization believes that this guy is equipped to lead them out of this fog that they're in, where with the Reds making the playoffs, the other four teams in the NL Central have now all made the playoffs twice during the Ben Cherington, two times or more. In the Ben Cherington era.
Pony, I'm going to read you the records here because I, for some reason, was doing a research project this morning while Ace was telling me he wanted to play cars and then ignoring me when I actually tried to play with him. So I did this. Six-year record totals, just very quickly. The Cubs, I'll start best to worst. Milwaukee, 492 and 378. This is starting since Cherington took over, so you got the short COVID year in there, which is weird.
Yep.
Cardinals played two fewer games that year. They're 445 and 423. Cubs are 437 and 433. Cincy, 418 and 452. The Pirates are 365 and 505. They are 53 wins worse than the fourth place team in that six-year span. As you said, all four of those other teams have made the playoffs at least twice. Of the six individual worst seasons had by teams in the NL Central in that time frame, the Pirates of four of them.
I really believe the only way to get people to buy back in now is to spend a lot more money. Because there was a scenario in which if you fired Ben Cherington and hired the right guy with the right resume, yes, people would not love a $90 million or a $95 million payroll or something like that, but they might buy into whatever plan or whatever philosophy or whatever baseball ethos the next guy has who's taking over and think, hey, Cincinnati's in the playoffs, Cleveland's in the playoffs, this guy can build a winner and do it quickly with the pitching they have. Mm-hmm. With Charrington, you can't bring back a team on like an $85 to $90 million payroll and make your fans believe before the season starts that you can win with those guys. I mean, even if they were to get off to a good start, fans would be skeptical because they've seen that movie before with the Pirates.
2 years ago with Shelton, they were playing like semi-meaningful games well into August. I'm going to say...
I get like, okay, good job with pitching. The Horwich trade was a good one. He drafted Connor Griffin. He picked Skeens over Cruz. He found Bubba Chandler in the middle rounds. He found Jared Jones in the draft. I mean, it's not all bad things. But when you don't have a winning record in 6 years and you're going backwards, the bad outweighs the good.
I'm going to say one thing about Charrington returning. Reportedly, I guess what, he's got another 2 years, I believe, under contract?
Yeah, Parado said he's under contract through 2027.
And Kelly just got an extension. We know that in the past, Bob Nutting has, for all other things that can be said about spending habits, paid money, real money, to make people go away.
Hurdle and Huntington.
When he felt they were no longer doing a good job. By extension, I can only then surmise that Bob Nutting feels that not only does Ben Charrington not deserve to be fired, but that he is in fact doing a good job because he has shown a willingness to pay to make what he thinks are underperforming employees go away. So this is not just like a non-dogging of him by the owner. This is a full-throated endorsement, I would say. I don't think you need to say it any other way. The owner is happy, I would think, with the job that the GM is doing. And if that is not how he actually feels, then he might want to explicitly say he's back, but there are conditions and he's got to sing for his supper.
You have, I would say, a 4-year window with Paul Skeens. Maybe it's 5. It's probably not 6. And you've already used 2.
And one might be going down the tubes because of a lockout that's looming.
So you're down. You're in the second half, or you're entering the second half of Paul Skeens' Pirates career already. And you're going to trust Ben Charrington to be the steward during that era of baseball that is so vital. Like, it's... there are some fans who say that they'll be done who always come back. Like, those people exist. But the handling of Paul Skeens by this organization is paramount.
Do you think,
for a lot of fans, and they...
Do you think if they're bad with him and they eventually deal him and they get nowhere near a playoff berth, but he's great, Pony? Like, it's not inconceivable that if they have him for 2 more seasons,
yeah,
he wins 2 more Cy Youngs, yep, and they don't even sniff a playoff berth.
Yes.
If that happens, do you think there will be some small exodus of Pirates fans who will just say, I love this pitcher, I'm a Paul Skeens fan, I'm rooting for whoever he goes
to? Maybe. I mean, I already know some people who may or may not work in this building who have said as much.
Ambassador of Doom?
Other people that would prefer not to go on the air.
Like, if we were putting them on the air, we'd have to shadow their face out, and then they'd come on and go, I too will go wherever Paul Skeens goes.
Mike Tomlin, you heard there. And by the way, if you want to call in on the Pirates decision today, 412-928-9370. But it is a victory Monday for the Steelers that Malzi is treated like another loss because of Mike Tomlin's game management decisions late on Sunday. And we've had some people text in and claim and tweet in that Malzi is suffering from Tomlin derangement syndrome. And I don't know who termed or coined that phrase or who first brought it up to you, but I think they're right here.
Oh, okay.
Because, and here's why I say that. And I am actually being a little bit empathetic towards your take that I don't agree with here by saying this. If you don't have 8 years of scar tissue, I don't think you're saying what you're saying about yesterday's game. I think it is absolutely a result of them not having won a playoff game since 2016. If the Rams or the Ravens or the Chiefs had won the same exact way yesterday, I don't think that's your take on it. I think you're probably willing to give Tomlin more credit for their unique, unorthodox offensive game plan that worked and had Brian Flores in a tizzy, and the fact that Kevin O'Connell really couldn't flex his muscle as an offensive game caller.
The Vikings didn't run the ball really at all, and Wentz had to throw a somewhat inefficient 46 passes.
And you've pointed those things out, but all in the context of Mike Tomlin sucked so bad in the last 5 minutes.
I'm sick of watching, it's probably on the heels of all the one-score game record stuff. I'm just sick of watching a guy say, oh yeah, it should have been easier. And I'm not stupid. I know Mike is very proud of the work he does, and I know Mike is never going to give, especially the local media, which I think he broadly dislikes, and probably the fan base he's aware of that hates him, he dislikes them, and I don't really blame him for disliking them. I don't think he's ever going to give anybody what they want to hear, which is not just coach speak, I need to be better, where it's like, I made bad decisions and I put our team in a tougher spot than they needed to be. But it just does frustrate me that he'll say things like, we made it harder on ourselves than we needed to, but he will never cop to the fact that his own ignorance of situational football and situational decision-making is the principal part of all that. Somebody said that, what was it, our caller Leslie, who said, you dragged me to the dark side and now you've tried to come back a little bit on this particular day and I haven't. She's right. You made me see the light finally. I defended the guy probably longer than anybody in this town. I am sick of watching the same old bleep almost week in, week out, regardless of whether they lose or not.
But it wasn't the same old bleep because he actually, with his offensive coordinator, devised a plan that we hadn't seen them use
before. It was the same old, because when push came to shove and the game got a little closer than anyone anticipated, he went back to the same things he falls back on. I'll let my defense try to win it. I won't play to win. I'll play scared. I'll coach scared. Which he did. Greg Olsen all but called him a coward for not going.
Well, and I thought in the moment from my couch that it was like, if they lost the game yesterday and the defense had given up a field goal or a touchdown and they lose, it's the number one thing we're talking about, and I'm crucifying him for it.
I'm not giving him a pass because they won. I'm not giving him a pass because they won, because I don't think he deserves one. He coached 55 really good minutes, and then he made a series of decisions that I feel like were extremely poor.
Let me make sure I understand you. So he might have I don't think he does, but let's say he has an analytics guy in his headset who says, Mike, it's 4th and 1. We got to go for it here.
Mm-hmm.
And he says back, I just watched us try to get 1 yard on 3rd and 1. It didn't go anywhere. I'm nervous. I don't trust them to get the yard here. You think the analytics person should say, well, yeah, but the percentages are you're not going to get twice in a row?
If there was an analytics person, they'd probably say, Mike, the percentages say you're going to get this. You've run for whatever it is, 5 yards a carry today. The numbers say strongly you need to go for this, but the decision's yours.
And so if he feels like my defense is going to get a stop, mm-hmm. I think my defense is going to come through. You don't want a coach to trust his gut there.
I don't trust his gut.
But the gut worked, though. You should trust his gut a little bit more, because the gut was right here.
I think that the guy lives by that and doesn't always reap the benefits.
Like, you
I'm not getting paid $17 million to win football games.
I understand that, but what you're essentially saying is no head coach should really make a lot of money if everything should just strictly be based on the percentages. It should never come down to gut.
I mean, football is obviously a sport where getting guys to be at their best motivationally, like focus, all those things.
And he did that in this game.
It is important. But like, to me, the gold standard franchise in the league right now is one that I would imagine does not pay its coach an exceptional amount of money, like Tomlin money, and I think that's the Eagles.
Yeah.
That is a strong GM, strong process franchise. They're ready to run Nick Sirianni out of town on a rail if they're not winning almost every game. And I know that that's a little extreme, because that's kind of Philly fans, Philly media mindset, but I don't think it's that far off from what it should be.
412-928-9370. Does Tomlin deserve praise or criticism for yesterday's game? Here's Mike in Brentwood. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Mulsey's 100% right, and not only because of the decisions, but because of what Tomlin's own words are. We don't live in our fears. Well, obviously he is, because he's more afraid of the offense and showing lack of confidence in his offense to get that 18 inches when they've been doing it all day, as opposed to, hey, let me put my defense out there for 2.5 minutes, hoping that they can get a stop when they've given up 14 points this quarter. So.
Okay, but here's the dichotomy of things, though. People say they've been getting short yardage all day. Well, then why does Tomlin get criticized for running the ball on fourth down near the Vikings goal line?
I don't think there's criticism there.
Okay, so he wasn't living in his fears there then. Okay, so you got to give him credit for that, right? They went for it on fourth down. They just didn't get it.
For that one, sure. And I think that put the fear in him that,
So he didn't trust his offense there. Then after watching them get stopped twice, he trusted his defense instead. His defense gets a stop, so he ends up being right about it. And you're pissed off at him for being right?
I'm not pissed off at him for being right. I'm pissed off at him for doing the opposite of what he tells us.
So if he never ever said we don't live in our fears. And he never said that, you'd be fine with the decision he made. You're only mad about it because it contradicts his motto as a coach. That's what you're telling me?
I'm saying that's a big factor in it.
Is it for you, Chris?
Yes, and you know it's a big factor for you because you absolutely get frustrated with him all the time because his actions contradict his words.
And I did in the moment, but it worked.
I think because it worked is like the actual worst argument here. We're arguing on principle and process here. And his process was bad.
Okay, so if Chuck Tanner had Willie Stargell on his bench and Ed Ott and had a feeling that Ed Ott was going to get a pinch hit homer instead of Stargell, and he goes up and he does it, mm-hmm. You come on the air the next day in 1979 and say, man, Tanner got lucky, but how do you not go to Willie Stargell in that situation? Horrible job by the manager. You'd say that?
Probably.
Why?
Because it worked.
It worked.
Okay. If Tomlin tells Boswell, go out there and attempt a 70-yard field goal left-footed, I have a feeling you'll make it, and it works.
Then yes, you give him credit for it, right?
No, I don't, because I don't just go by the results. I go by the process because the process is more predictive long-term.
But what are we basing the process on? Just the percentages?
The fact that the percentages say it's much more likely that you should try to get 18 inches of real estate than give the ball back to the other team. If you get the 18 inches, the game is over. If you don't get it, you still can stop them just like he gave his team a chance to, 19 yards further up the field than...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Viking.
I love his competitive spirit. I love to support it. I like a guy that plays and plays to win. And so he's an asset to us in that way, certainly. Regardless of the outcome of the play, certainly it didn't unfold the way we would like. But we're prepared to die with our boots on and pursue victory and not live in our fears.
There it is. Die with the boots on. Mike Tomlin talking about Aaron Rodgers. Coaxing him into going for it on fourth down near the goal line. Got stopped. 81-yard completion. Great play by Peyton Wilson. There's the I don't live in my fears line, and Mulsey saying that Tomlin did exactly that by punting the ball back to Minnesota.
Which he did.
which I did agree with at the time, but how do I rip a guy when it works and it gets them to 3-1?
Because you can still rip a guy when the process is bad and he gets away with it. We do it all the time. It is literally some of the lifeblood of this industry. Also, by the way, at least if you're going to say die with our boots on, do something clever like if we were going to lose, it was going to be a Viking funeral or something like that. Mm. Is that too much to ask?
Maybe his like brain was a little bit fried after that game. You know, it was early morning for them. Felt like a 9:30 kickoff.
He was too busy making the big, bold decision. Do I just punt or do I take a delay of game and then punt?
Mike in Robinson, not Mike Robinson, the former Penn State quarterback and Seahawks fullback.
Nice guy, Mike Robinson.
Hello, Mike. Mike? Goodbye, Mike. Here is Alex in Bethel Park. Hello, Alex.
Wanted to talk about Ben Sherrington getting re-signed.
Yeah, can you take us off speaker, though?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll buy some time for you. Go ahead.
All right. So, Ben Sherrington getting re-signed. I just don't understand how Bob Nutting thought it was a good idea.
He didn't get re-signed. He got retained. He did not get a new contract for people that are just hearing us. They're keeping him around. He's got 2 more years left on his deal currently.
Okay. Well, it just makes no sense that they would want to keep him around after really the only good signing or trade that he did was for the catcher from the Giants.
Bart. Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes. Joey Bart?
Yeah, so Joey Bart, yeah. And this past year, it was a terrible year for him. That has been the only good player that he has brought in besides Dowry Moretta.
Is this a bit? That's got to be a bit, right?
No, I think that guy is just really focused on Dowry Moretta.
Bart hit for zero power this year. Now, he actually hit for a high average the second half of the season. And if he's your backup catcher, I don't think that that's the worst thing in the world. But
Dowry Moretta,
wow.
Huh?
Look.
He made a couple good moves. He's made good moves when it's come to pitching. Skeens wasn't a slam dunk over Cruz. I said they should have drafted Cruz. They made the right pick. He's been completely abysmal at acquiring hitting talent. And I'll just go back to my thesis point here. If you're talking about Mulsey's theses today, I don't have 95 of them like Martin Luther. But my two are Mike Tomlin had bad process. And on this front, Bob Nutting retaining Ben Sherrington is like a full-throated endorsement of Ben Sherrington.
I actually think we're focusing on the wrong thing as far as like what Sherrington should be harangued for, talking to the caller, not necessarily you, Mulsey. It's not who he's bringing in. It's what he's doing with the guys he's got. He's had 6 years to develop major league hitters. He has developed none from guys they've drafted and brought through the minor leagues. Nick Gonzalez is a so-so hitter. That's all. He's nothing more. He's nothing less. He's okay. He's not good. He's okay. You drafted a catcher 1-1. He's a caddy. He might as well be the guy from Happy Gilmore whose hand got bitten off by a crocodile.
Alligator.
That's alligator.
Chubbs Peterson.
That's who he is.
You know what, though? That guy hit 7 home runs and hit more than 156 this year, and wasn't it beautiful?
He carries Skeens' bags. That's what he does. And that was your number one pick.
Which is fine, by the way, if that player is like a random catcher you signed for veteran minimum. It's not so good when it's a 1-1.
You didn't draft them 1-1 to be Chris Stewart. You've got Jack Sawinski hitting .130 by the end of the year. You've completely ruined him.
Wasn't that an improvement over what he was hitting? Might have been.
There's all these shortstops and stuff you drafted and traded for. None of them panned out. All these young guys you brought in who were hitters, when you traded your established major leaguers when you started the rebuild, none of them panned out. That's the problem. I mean, it doesn't help when you sign. I mean, his hands are somewhat tied. But, I mean, I wouldn't say he's done a good job of evaluating free agent hitters. But it's the team can't be built out of 1 year free agent hitters. The team has got to be built on a budget by drafting and developing hitters. And over 6 years, he is shown to be the absolute worst in baseball at it. And that negates being maybe one of the better ones at developing pitchers when you're that god-awful with the hitting part of baseball.
Johnny and Farrell is also, in addition to being on hold,
yeah,
is still actively participating in the YouTube chat.
Well, let's get him on the air. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Good. Johnny, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to give Pony, because I've already seen it, but I want you to quickly summarize for Pony what your thesis and your theory is on why Ben Cherington is still the Pirates GM.
Okay, Ben Cherington is still because he is a plant by MLB to move the Pirates and transition them to Canada or Northern New England if we don't win big and draw big money in fans next year. That's why wants to keep Nutting wants to win now, because they went to him and they got him leveraged. They'll say, we own the Pirates already. If they don't win, we're taking them up there on the border.
On the border. Okay. I was going to ask you, where in Northern New England do you think they're supporting a baseball team?
Well, on the border there, where Montreal and Northern New England, they could put two stadiums, one on each side, and be a true international team. They could play home games in Canada and America and be like the Montreal, whatever is up there, team.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that.
I'm just glad we got him in there. I saw that YouTube comment. I was absolutely tickled.
Mike in Ambridge. Hello, Mike.
How did you even let that guy talk?
Oh, that's Stoner Johnny. We like him.
He's very high, Mike.
He's
harmless.
He's a main character of the YouTube chat, Mike. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, you're talking about the process. The process started when Warren couldn't play.
Yeah.
Good move by Mike Tomlin, right? And then your safety came back first time a couple games. Mm-hmm. Then you're kind of like your best defensive back kind of pulls a hammy a little bit. I mean, the process is the whole game. And then we got a field goal blocked, so you think we should kick another one. I don't know. They got us once. What if it scores off of that?
So, Mike, you're saying that Tomlin did a good coaching job against the Vikings?
I think he did a fantastic coaching job for what he was up against. Yes, I do. I mean, your defensive backs are pretty hammered.
Not drunk, third.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.